Appreciate the prayer that Mike led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate the song that Max led us in as we raised our voice and praised our Almighty God. And certainly appreciate the good reading of the scripture there that Doug just read for us from the 116th Psalm. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open there to the 116th Psalm. We're going to spend all our time there this morning walking through this psalm and taking a look at some lessons of application from this very encouraging psalm. Again, Psalm 116 is a very encouraging psalm. And in this psalm, we learn about the psalmist declaring that he was in dire trouble even unto death. But yet he cried out to the Lord, his God. And God heard his voice and ultimately delivered him from his trouble. Therefore, as we learn in this psalm, the psalmist expresses his love and gratitude for the Lord. And knowing that, I want us to take a few moments this morning to examine Psalm 116 together. And as we examine this psalm, I want us to notice some very valuable lessons of application. And I want to begin this morning by suggesting to us that the first valuable lesson that we can learn from this psalm is the need to always resolve to trust in the Lord our God exclusively and forever. We see this being expressed by the psalmist there in verses 1 and 2. Notice this with me again, picking up here in Psalm 116 and in verse 1. The psalmist said, "I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live." You see, we have many reasons for loving and trusting the Lord our God, don't we? There are too many reasons to even list that we have for loving the Lord our God. But here the psalmist, however, says, "I love the Lord." Why? Well, notice, because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, the psalmist said. That is the reason the psalmist said as he began this psalm, with a most simple and sincere expression of grateful love to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord had heard his cry when he found himself in an urgent state of need. And not only did the Lord hear the psalmist's voice and incline his ear to him, but he likewise answered his cry, didn't he? He ultimately delivered him out of deep distress. And it is because of that, as we learn in verse number 2, that the psalmist made a lifelong resolve to trust exclusively. That simply means only or solely in the Lord for as long as he shall live. Think about that. The psalmist declares, "I love the Lord because he heard my voice. And because he inclined his ear to me," the psalmist said, "I will resolve to trust in the Lord exclusively and forever. I will resolve," he says, "therefore, to call upon him as long as I live." Lesson for us. As we see that the psalmist was obviously deeply affected in a positive way by the loving kindness and mercy and deliverance of the Lord. He was relieved out of a state of deep distress by the power of the Lord. And because of that, he resolved to always call upon the Lord as long as he lived. The application for you and I from the lesson that we can learn from the psalmist here is the need for us to always trust in the Lord our God exclusively and forever. We too need to have that trust in the Lord just as the psalmist had that trust in the Lord. And to have that trust solely upon the Lord. And we need to do it forever. For as long as we live. And that takes us right into another lesson that we can learn from this psalm. We need to always resolve to always love the Lord, to trust Him, to call upon Him as long as we live, knowing just as the psalmist knew that refuge is only found in the Lord our God. We go on to learn that there in verses 3 and 4. Pick up with me there in verse number 3 of Psalm 116. And notice these words of the psalmist again. The pains of death surround me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Here the psalmist acknowledges that while he was in the painful grip of death, he found trouble and sorrow. You see, this death crisis, we really don't know what that really was. It may have come from sickness, injury, or persecution. We don't know. But nonetheless, we know that the psalmist found himself in the painful grip of death. And what did he do when he found himself in trouble and sorrow? What did he do? Verse number 4. He called upon the name of the Lord. You see, I want us to really notice what the psalmist did when he found himself in such a state of distress. I want us to really understand that when the psalmist found himself in a state of distress, he turned to the Lord. Why? Because he knew that refuge was only found in the Lord. I want us to notice here the cry of the psalmist to the Lord in verse 4. Notice it. He said, O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Think about that. You see this cry to the Lord from the psalmist, it was direct. It was delivered straight to the Lord God, as we see, O Lord. But not only was it direct, delivered straight to the Lord, but it was also deeply felt. We can see that in the psalmist saying, I implore you. This was a heartfelt cry. It was deeply felt. But another thing we can learn from this cry out to the Lord by the psalmist was the fact that he directly stated the need. What was that need? Deliver my soul. You see, simply put, his petition, it was short, but it was to the point. It was humble and it was earnest. And there's a very valuable lesson of application there for you and I. You see, this gives us a good model to mold our prayers upon when we find ourselves in a state of deep distress, right? You see, knowing as the psalmist knew that refuge from a time of trouble and sorrow can only be found in the Lord, our God. And only He can deliver us from such dire circumstances. Indeed, my beloved brethren, as we all know, or at least should know, refuge is only found in the Lord. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about what the psalmist penned there in Psalm 46 and verse 1. And there in Psalm 46 and verse 1, the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalmist of the 116th Psalm understood that, didn't he? When he found himself in trouble and sorrow, when he found himself in deep distress, whom did he turn? He turned and called upon the Lord, knowing that He had the power to deliver him. But another lesson of application that we can learn from this psalm is the need to give praise to the Lord our God who preserves us. We've talked about the first four verses of this psalm and how the psalmist expresses his love and gratitude to the Lord, because he called upon him, and he was when he was in a state of trouble, and the Lord delivered him ultimately. But I want us to notice the next set of verses here in Psalm 116, verses 5 through 11. These verses here denote and show that the psalmist, because the Lord had delivered him from his troubles, that he was going to always give praise to the Lord, his God who preserved him. Notice these verses with me, beginning in verse number 5. The psalmist goes on to say, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars." You see, here in light of his deliverance through answered prayer, the psalmist, he gave praise to the Lord his God for his gracious, righteous, and merciful attributes. We see that in verse number 5, don't we? We see here in verse number 6 that in humility the psalmist considered himself as simple. By the way, that word simple can refer to one that is sincere and a plain-hearted person. And here the psalmist, he acknowledges the fact that the Lord preserves the simple. He simply acknowledges also that he was brought low. You know what the psalmist is saying there when he says, "I was brought low"? He was saying that he was humbled. We learn here that psalmist, he was humbled. He was brought low. He again, as we talked about, he was in the grips of death. But yet, he acknowledges that the Lord saved me. And because of that, we can see here in verse 7 that although for a time the crisis endured by the psalmist, it obviously troubled his soul. But he now could reflect upon how God had dealt bountifully with him. And he could once again be at rest and have peace. Notice that there in verse 7. When he says, "Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Again, I venture to say, we've all been there at some point in time in our lives. We've all been there at some point in time when our soul has been deeply distressed. We've been there where we've been in a dire situation. We've hurt. We've been filled with trouble and sorrow. And because of that, we found our souls in a state of unrest. The psalmist found himself in that place. He found himself in a state of unrest because of the dire circumstances in which he was facing at that time. But yet, when he called out upon the Lord, and the Lord heard his voice, and the Lord delivered him from that dire circumstance, he now can say, "Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Again, the psalmist could once again be at rest. He could have peace. And when I think about the peace that the Lord can provide, when you call upon Him, I can't help but to think about that peace which surpasses all understanding that the inspired Apostle Paul talks about there in Philippians chapter 4, right? As good Bible students, we're familiar with what Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul said there, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will" what? "Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's powerful, isn't it? Powerful.
It denotes the power that is in prayer.
And we need to be reminded that when we find ourselves in dire circumstances, not to be a people who become anxious or worried, overly consumed and worried about that situation, but rather we need to call upon the Lord in prayer. We need to go to our God in prayer. We need to let our requests be made known to Him, knowing that He is able to provide rest for our souls, knowing that He is able to give us that peace of mind which surpasses all understanding. That's what the psalmist here did, didn't he? And it is because of that the psalmist can say, "Return to your rest, O my soul. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you." We go on to see here in verses 8 there where this crisis, obviously, it was a great crisis. It was a great crisis even unto death. The psalmist said, "For you have delivered my soul from death." It was a great crisis, but you want to know what was greater? The deliverance. This was a great crisis that the psalmist found himself in, but the deliverance from the Lord his God was greater. Notice this. The psalmist also says there in verse number 8. The fact that the deliverance was great, it can be emphasized in the fact that it gave comfort to tearful eyes. See that? "You delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears." This is the result of this deliverance, this great deliverance from the Lord. It gave comfort to tearful eyes, but it also gave strength to falling feet. You see that? "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Wow. Again, powerful, isn't it? Powerful. We go on to see there where the psalmist there in verse number 9. We see where he says, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." You see, because of this great deliverance, the psalmist here uses these grateful words, these confident words, these words full of faith and commitment. The psalmist says, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." We see in verse 11, or verse 10 rather, where he says, "I believe, therefore I spoke, I am greatly afflicted." Again, when it talks about he believed, it simply means he trusted God in the depth of his distress. He knew who to turn to. He knew who to believe. He knew who to put his trust in. And the psalmist says, "I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted." Verse number 11, he says, "In haste, I said in my haste, all men are liars." It seems obviously here that the bitter experience caused the psalmist to make a statement that seemed rather logical for him at the time. But rather he admits that it was a hasty conclusion. There's a valuable lesson there for us too, isn't there? The need for us to recognize that it's going to be much better for us to be quiet when our spirit is disturbed and hasty. You see, it's much easier to say than to unsay, isn't it? And we need to be mindful that although we may find ourselves in a bitter situation, and although we may say something that may seem logical to us at the time, and then we stop and think about, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that." We need to be mindful of the need to not be quick to jump to conclusions. We need to be mindful to remember that it's always easier to say than to unsay. And the psalmist, he learned that lesson. He said, "I said in my haste, all men were liars." But another valuable lesson that we can learn from this psalm is not only the fact to resolve to trust in the Lord our God exclusively and forever. Not only to
to know that refuge is found only in the Lord, and not only the need to give continual praise to the Lord our God who preserves us, but we also can learn the need to be one who thankfully receives and responds to the goodness of the Lord. That's how the psalmist finishes this psalm here in the verses 12 through 19. With an expression again of thanks, and he receives and responds to the goodness of the Lord. Notice this with me. I'll read verses 12 through 19. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. We can learn from these set of verses here that gratitude drove the psalmist to consider what he could do in return for the God who showed mercy upon him. Here we learn that the psalmist, he wisely considered why God had been so good to him instead of why he had problems at all. Think about that. We never see anything in the psalm where the psalmist even considered, why me, Lord? Why me? He didn't consider that, did he? But rather we see here where the psalmist, what his consideration was upon was how good God had been to him. You see, another valuable lesson for us. The need to not be a people who are so much focused upon our problems, but rather to be a people who's focused upon our blessings. Because there are many blessings. God is good. God is so good to us each and every day. And it's because of God's goodness, because of the richness of his kindness and mercy, that we should focus and consider at all times. The psalmist did that, didn't he? He did that. And I venture to say he did that because he understood that troubles are common to all men. He understood that. We understand that. Trouble, it's not a respecter of persons, is it? Troubles of life are common to all men. But you want to know something? The benefits given by God, where do they belong? To those who faithfully trust Him. You see, the psalmist, he was mindful and thankful for all the benefits of the Lord. Notice that again there in verse number 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Again, there are so many benefits that come from the Lord that they're too many to even list, aren't they? But sadly, often, many of the benefits of the Lord, they often escape our observation, don't they? There's so many benefits that we receive from the Lord that they oftentimes, many of them benefits, they escape our observation. We don't even think about them. And why would that be? Because we're putting our focus on the wrong thing. We're putting our focus upon our troubles instead of on our blessings. Sometimes we sing that hymn, Count Your Blessings. We need to be mindful of that, don't we, each and every day. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And do that daily. Put your focus upon and consideration upon the many blessings, the many benefits that come from the Lord. We also see where gratitude allowed the psalmist to receive from God. As we see here in verse number 13, when he says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You see, before we can do anything for God, we must first begin to gratefully receive from Him, right? And here we see where the psalmist, he thankfully receives and responds to the goodness of the Lord. When he says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Again, there in verse 14, the psalmist, he declared to publicly make known God's goodness. Psalmist, he wasn't going to keep that to himself, was he? But he was going to let it be made known. He says, I will do it in the presence of all His people. We go on to see there in verse 15 that despite his personal deliverance from death at this time, the psalmist, he still acknowledges death as a reality. And he informs that the day, that when that day comes for the child of God, that the Lord Himself holds the death of His people as a precious thing. We see that in verse 15, don't we? When he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Again, although the psalmist at this time was delivered from death, he still recognized that death is a reality. It's still going to come to men. And he realizes that when that day comes for God's faithful children, that's going to be a precious thing in the sight of the Lord. Think about that. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints? We need to be. We need to take joy in that, comfort in that, knowing that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We go on to see there in verse 16 where the psalmist dedicates himself to the Lord's service. He says, O Lord, truly I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. Again, verse 17, I will offer You to the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Again, the psalmist dedicates himself to the service of God and emphasizes his trust in Him to always continually call upon Him. You see, the psalmist is happy and duty-bound to proclaim his gratitude to the Lord and to call upon Him alone, as we see in these verses. And then we see there in verse 18, the repetition of the phrase continues to express the psalmist's praise and gratitude. When he says, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. And then this psalm ends with hallelujah. The psalm ends with praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Both as a decoration of personal praise and a call to God's people to join in that proclamation. Very encouraging psalm, isn't it, brethren? Very encouraging psalm. And my beloved brethren, may we, like the psalmist of old, likewise be a people who fully trust in the Lord our God. May we all likewise sincerely love the Lord our God and always seek to call upon Him, knowing that He is our refuge and that He is the only one who is able to deliver us. Knowing that, let each and every one of us always strive to faithfully serve the Lord our God, being completely dedicated to Him. And let's always praise the Lord and love Him as long as we live. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. Know that the Lord desires for all men to be saved. And if you have not yet submitted yourself in faithful obedience to Him, we encourage you to do that this very hour. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.